It's Northeast Delta Dental Radio with Tom Raffio.
Welcome to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio, and I'm also the head coach of the dental insurance company known as Northeast Delta Dental. Well, it's hard to believe it's December 21st and December 22nd, depending on when you're listening to this. And I hope everybody in the sound of my voice has a happy holidays, Merry Christmas, whichever holiday you celebrate. And if you are celebrating Christmas, I hope you've completed all your Christmas shopping. For my running friends, I want to give you a big shout out for participating in the Jingle Bell Run for Arthritis, which was at Concord Runlet School last Sunday. We had our biggest turnout ever. We had changed the course a little bit. We moved it closer to the school, and it was out and back, so it made it easier for the awards. And, of course, as runners, you don't get as cold having to walk a block to the start. So we'll keep that start and finish. So overall, in terms of the arthritis Jingle Bell Run, we made our numbers in terms of fundraising. And the bigger story is that last year's youth honoree was an honoree in a wheelchair, and this year he ran the race in Concord. Kellen is his name. And in addition to running the race, he passed me in the last couple hundred yards, so it beat me. So in any event, that was a great story. So that's what arthritis research is all about. And by the way, and this is relevant to my next guest, there is a connection between oral health and arthritis. Also, for my running friends, if you're listening to this on Saturday, December 21st, there's still time to go over to Bishop Brady at 11 o'clock, 25 Columbus Ave. Is the Bishop Brady Habitat for Humanity 4-miler, and it's the same course if you ran the Thanksgiving race there on Thanksgiving Day at Bishop Brady. It's the exact same course, so you can see if you've improved over the last month. But back closer to home in my core job, Northeast Delta Dental, above all else, is an oral health company. And with me this weekend is one of my great dentist colleagues who works with us at Northeast Delta Dental, Dr. Andy McKibben. Andy, thank you for joining me this weekend.
Hi, Tom. I'm glad to be here.
Particularly, Andy was telling me he just returned from Mexico on a nice warm weather vacation, and he brought the cold weather back. But Andy, like me, is a big skier, so we can't wait to get out there. And enough of this rain. I like the true New England winter. So, Andy, you have worked with us at Northeast Delta Dental for several years. Just tell us for your background before we get into our topic today on treatment choices.
I was a general practitioner for 37 years. I started in Norwich, Vermont, and then moved to Lebanon, New Hampshire. I was fortunate enough to have a nice family practice that thrived, and as I learned that I didn't know as much as I thought I did, I joined a number of organizations to better myself, the Academy of Gold Foil Operators, the Associated R.V. Tucker Study Clubs, the Academy of Operative Dentists. And through there, I came in contact with many mentors, very experienced dentists that were very willing to share their knowledge and help me improve as a dentist. And as a result of that, I saw other opportunities. I was a trustee of the New Hampshire Dental Society, and I just finished up my 10th year on the New Hampshire Board of Dental Examiners.
So tell us, let's pause there for a moment. Tell us what the New Hampshire, in general terms, obviously no specific cases, but tell us in general terms the responsibility of the New Hampshire Board of Dental Examiners.
Any of the members of the Board of Dental Examiners take an oath to protect the citizens of New Hampshire, and our job is to oversee the dentists, the hygienists, and the practice of dentistry in the state. So when if a patient has a complaint, they can submit that complaint to the board, and then the board investigates the complaint to see if there's any merit to the complaint. And if there is, then a further investigation is passed on to the Attorney General's office. And then that will be, once the investigation is done, that evidence will then be presented to the board, and the particular dentist or hygienist will have an opportunity to defend themselves, and then a decision will be rendered.
So there is due process. of course. And I know that Northeast Delta Dental follows the Dental Board of Examiners because obviously we have a participating dentist. So the very occasional time you read about a dentist in the newspaper, you can trust that the Board of Dental Examiners is on it, and you know, as well as Northeast Delta Dental. So in general terms, we all know this. We've had many of your colleagues on the show. We've had Dr. Bob Urban. We've had Dr. Mitch Caray a long time ago. We used to have Dr. Shannon Mills on here regularly. We've had Dr. Joe Arante and others of your dentist consultant colleagues. So I've learned a lot. I feel like I've gotten my dental degree by listening to fine gentlemen and ladies. In general, dental insurance, if you think of it, it's more like prepaid dental benefits in the sense that unlike insurance for your house where you basically buy it just in case the house burns down and hopefully it never happens, we want you to go to the dentist and use the dental program. So we have a lot of vetted statistics. This is not Delta Dental propaganda. We have vetted statistics which demonstrate that if you have dental insurance, you go to the dentist way more than people without dental insurance. And as a practicing dentist, I'm sure you've observed that. The other thing that now is well vetted is that the connection between medical and dental. And so we now have a study called the Wakely Study, which demonstrates conclusively that if you use your dental benefits, your medical chronic costs go way down. So there is that definite connection. So in terms of treatment choices, it would seem obvious to you and I in the dental space that you want to get proactively go to the dentist. But tell us about that kind of decision-making framework.
Well, when I'm going to go off topic just a little bit. But when I was thinking about treatment choices, I was thinking more along the lines of fillings or root canals or braces. And I started realizing that when I started in practice, I had a small practice and I had farmers, I had teachers, I had nurses as patients, but they would come in if they had a problem, when something hurt, something was broken, or something was swollen. And as it was very hard to get them to commit to preventive medicine and coming in on a regular basis. And I'm going to plug Northeast Delta here because I was involved in the early days of Northeast Delta, and there was a concerted effort to reach out and get dental benefit plans for nurses and for teachers. And it was amazing. Then they would come in, and prior to that, if you asked them if they needed a crown, you say, you know, let's do the crown. They go, well, I don't have dental insurance. But now when they were members of Delta, all of a sudden they'd say, okay, let's go ahead. Or, hey, you know, I could say to them, you should come in for two cleanings a year. They would do it. Looking back on it, I think that's one of the things that Northeast Delta has done better than any other dental benefit company, reaching out, getting people to actually get into the dental office.
And fast forward, you know, 30, 40 years, and we do that even more now with a lot of our commercials and image ads where the power of a smile. And as Annie said, we want people to go to the dentist. I know sometimes when I'm on a chairlift and people recognize me and they talk to me about dental coverage, and I say, no, we want you to go to the dentist. And then they say, well, I'm an individual. And, of course, we have an individual product, which we'll get into momentarily. But they say, well, should I get dental coverage? And I say, well, if you have the discipline to go to the dental office at least twice a year, and have the ability, particularly if they look my age, they look a little older, and I'll say every couple of years when you need a crown, you know, can you write a check for $1,500? Then no, you don't need dental insurance. But invariably, through this kind of soft sell approach, I say, you know what, I better sign up, because you know the other thing about signing up for dental coverage is that the dentist reminds you have the coverage. Then you'll go, and then of course, when you do need that crown, half of it is covered by by the coverage, and then of course we've taken it to the next level with the Health Through a Wellness program, where based on you go in now and get your cleaning, and the hygienist she or he puts you through a series of questions, and based on your score, which can be a 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5, if it's three or above, like in my case it's three, you're entitled to additional cleanings, a Delta fluoride varnish, and some other procedures, and that will be on Delta Dental's dime, so to speak. So it's really cool, and nothing, it's seriously, Andy, when I go and I get my risk assessment, which I just referred to through the Health and Wellness Program, and then the hygienist schedules me for my third cleaning, and then applies fluoride varnish when I'm completing the visit. Like it literally almost brings tears to my eyes because it happens seamlessly.
I think this is one of the amazing things about Northeast Delta Dental, that the opportunity and taking the chance to try something new, the relationship between the employer that's purchasing the plan, the patient, and the dentist working in new ways to try to promote the use of dentistry or oral health. I wanted to ask you a little bit about the history. I know from my experience watching Delta grow, but there's also the effort that Delta has to market. You are obviously more aware of than I am, and I know that Delta is continuing to set goals to try to reach out to even more people. Do you have any things that you can share with us about that?
That's a great question, Dr. Andy. So one of our goals, there are in Maine, Hampshire, and Vermont in total, there are 3.2 million people only, which is about 1% of the population in the United States, and half of whom we really can't market to because they're headquartered out of state. So, for example, if you're a Walmart employee in New Hampshire, you're actually covered by Delta of Arkansas. So then a lot of people have Medicare, and then some kids have Medicaid. So there's probably 1.6 million people that we can market to. Our goal is to get 1 million dental lives. So that's one, and as you know, when you walk around our campus, either at 1 or 2 Delta, we have these what are called SMART goals, which stands for strategic, measurable, achievable, realistic, and time-based. And every employee knows our goal is to get to the 1 million dental lives by the year 2023, and we're at about 940,000. So, of course, we're a lot of small businesses in New Hampshire, so it's not like we can bring on a group like Amazon and bring on, 100,000 employees. I mean, basically our growth is by the 4 or 5 people, that work for dry cleaning that don't have coverage. The individual who needs to buy it on healthcare.gov, which was the exchange set up by the Affordable Care Act. So that's our goal, and we're doing it through a number of means. I mentioned some of the commercials we're running on Smile Power, but also something as simple as the licensing of the stadium, Northeast Delta Dental. We did that through statistical analysis, which was that many of the people that going to the games didn't have dental coverage, so that would give us a educational opportunity. Welcome back to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. Tom Raffio, this weekend of December 21st and 22nd, and I hope you've completed your Christmas shopping. Again, for my running friends, if you're listening to this on Saturday, December 21st, you can come over to Bishop Brady. The gun, it doesn't go off until 11 o'clock, so you can listen to the rest of the show with me and Dr. Andy. And then go over to Bishop Brady and do a race for Habitat for Humanity. So, Dr. Andy, we were talking about the way Northeast Delta Dental kind of has spread access. I briefly mentioned that we made an investment so we could, in fact, have dental coverage on healthcare.gov. So those of you that are getting your medical coverage through the what's called the public exchange or the public marketplace called healthcare.gov, Delta Dental is on it. But we knew in the first years of the Affordable Care Act in 2010 that it would probably be a little cumbersome. So with a sister Delta company, we created a private exchange called DeltaDentalCoversMe.com. And if you go on that website, it's its own website. In about 45 seconds, you can pick a dental plan that's affordable meets your needs. So, for example, if you don't have kids, you don't want ortho, there's a plan for you. If you do have kids and want great coverage for braces, there's a plan for that. Another thing we've done, and maybe you can explain what teledentistry is, but we have a partnership with the Boys and Girls Club, both in Concord and in Manchester, and kind of empirically, I was noticing when I was there for other reasons that some of the children, very young children, seem to not have the best oral health. And so come to find out, there are a lot of children who don't have dental homes. They like to hang out at the Boys and Girls Club, but for economic and cultural and other reasons don't have a dental home. So we established with a sister company called Virtue Dent, teledentistry, where basically dentistry and suitcases, the hygienist, you know, shows up at the Boys and Girls Club. We see the kids. X-rays are transmitted to one of my dentists who's on the Delta Dental Board, Dr. Richard Bolduc. And then if the child needs to see a dentist for more serious work in the Concord area, we bring them over to Savings People Smile with my good friend Dr. Earl Simpson. If it's in the Manchester area, we bring them over to the East of Seals Oral Health Center, which we help fund. So it's kind of created a nice circle. So since the Board of Examiners probably looked at teledentistry, why don't you describe better than I just did, you know, what teledentistry is? And it has been actually very successful for the Boys and Girls Club because, again, those kids have not been seeing dentists. The other interesting thing, Andy, is even some corporations are now bringing in teledentistry because even when, and this is be a startling statistic, but even when the employer is paying the premium for their employees to go to the dentist, believe it or not, 20 to 40% of those employees don't go to the dentist because a number of reasons. There's a small percentage of people that had an adverse childhood experience. Maybe you can't do much about that, but others, it's just inconvenience or whatever. And so we now bring teledentistry even to the corporate setting. So tell us, I'm sure, whatever you can divulge, I'm sure as a Board of Dental Examiner board member, you will probably have looked at that to make sure everything is following good process.
I think the medical board and the dental board are trying to stay in touch. The whole idea of telemedicine is the future. And when I first came in contact with teledentistry, I thought the part of it that is really genius is you bring the hygienists to the offices, to the buildings, to the children in the boys' club or girls' club, and then you've eliminated the need for transportation. You reduce the time off. Someone can be working and have an appointment with the hygienist in an office within the building at 10 o'clock. They walk upstairs. They get their examination and their cleaning, and they're back at their desk by 11, and they don't have to get in their car. So the teledentistry, I think the part that the board agonized over the most is there has to be remote supervision. And this has been accomplished now by taking a really good, prior to seeing the patient, a good medical history, a good dental history, finding out what kind of x-rays they have, what their experience is. And then the consulting dentist can look at that information and prior to seeing the patient can recommend what radiographs or x-rays need to be done, kind of anticipate what type of cleaning may be needed. But then when that patient sees the hygienist, we know the x-rays are going to be taken, but using intraoral cameras and Skyping, essentially the dentist is doing an examination. I refer to it as remote supervision, but it there's nothing that is, in according to the board, we're kind of in New Hampshire, this is really fine. It's like there's nothing is being done that is irreversible. It's a chance to really evaluate the patient, get them going, and then at the end of that appointment, there will be recommendations if the patient needs further treatment. So the patient can be referred to a participating dentist for more involved treatment.
And there's a great point right there. Our participating dentists originally had a little degree of reticence and skepticism, but then they realized that in the final analysis, you know, after that initial screening, after that initial cleaning, they're going to need to see a regular dentist. Now, in the case of the Boys and Girls Club, you know, they go in Manchester, they're going to the East of Seals, you know, Dental Center. But for the corporate employees who haven't seen a dentist in a long time, and they get their cleaning, and then they get referred out to a regular participating dentist. So we're improving access and actually getting more people to go to the dentist, which is all about. And speaking of going to the dentist, so how just keeping insurance in mind as a factor, but how would one choose a dentist, and maybe describe, if you could, the different types of specialists? There's a general dentist, of course, and then the specialists.
Usually the place that most people want to start is with a general dentist. It gets a little confusing because there are orthodontists who do braces, there are endodontists who do root canals, and other specialists that I don't necessarily need to mention now. But the dental home usually is established with a general dentist, and that's the person that kind of acts like the conductor of the orchestra, that if you need something that requires a specialist, they can refer that particular, your general dentist can refer you to that specialist, but the general dentist will kind of orchestrate the treatment going through. The choice for a dental home is involves also what the patient is most comfortable with. I had a small practice. I was a sole provider. I liked it that way. It was very intimate. I didn't have a high volume of dentists or patients, rather. I knew my patients pretty well. But the trend today is more for group practices because of the expenses of the computers and the digital radiographs, so that now that group offices are more common, the groups can be kind of small, maybe just with two practitioners, or maybe a practitioner and a specialist, still kind of maintaining a smaller volume. Or you can have some of the new type of practices, which are referred to as dental service organizations or franchises, where there's multiple dentists and multiple hygienists, and you know their concept is they're going to have a higher volume, but hopefully then they will pass the savings, the cost savings, onto the patient so that they can perhaps get their dentistry done for less expenses.
And even though I like to call, you know, Maine, New Hampshire, and Vermont kind of Switzerland in terms of World War II, in terms of, you know, dentists, you know, and sole proprietorships and so forth, that trend is happening up here for the reasons you indicate. The other reason, too, is when, and I know this because we just added a scholarship, some additional dollars to the scholarship fund, but the average student, new dentist graduating from Tufts Dental School has like $300,000 worth of debt. And so maybe 20, 25 years ago, he or she would buy their uncle's practice or buy any practice. But now with $200,000 or $300,000 in debt, they would rather become a salaried employee at a DSO, dental service operation. And I think and of course, the Dental Board of Examiners monitors DSOs as well as the individual practitioner, and I think they've come a long way. So it'll be interesting to see the trend over the next few years. One of the things that Northeast Delta Dental did, it invested in a national DSO, National Dental Service Operation, just to kind of keep our hand in the game, just to see what's going on. And the good news, I think, for us is that this national DSO operates in every part of the country except Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, so I can kind of observe it before it enters our market.
Could I just interrupt?
Of course.
One of the other things that I think goes with that is also the placement of dentists. You know, the general dentists used to like to be in small towns, and they were be in Rotary and Lions Club, and the trend is that the dentists themselves want to be in a more suburban or urban area. So also one of the things Delta has done has been very supportive of getting dental students into some of the dental schools and encouraging them to go back to the communities that they came from. So particularly like in the Northeast Kingdom, someone who maybe was raised there and wants to be a dentist, to help them accomplish that, but then let them go back to the area that they came from to improve the access to care.
That's a great point. And the three major programs we have at Northeast Delta Dental, we really established with the University of New England, the first dental school in Northern New England. So a lot of the graduates for the past 3 years, a brand new school or relatively new school, and I sign all the participating agreements. Many of those students end up in different underserved areas in Maine, New Hampshire, and Vermont. So that's working out well. And then the Tufts scholarship programs that I referenced are given to students who we know will end up back in Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, and a great story. And we established the fund, and the board just voted another $1 million to go into the fund. And you don't use the corpus, you use the interest off that. But one of the recipients, and we don't get involved with who gets it, but ended up being a person that used to come in and do chair massages at Northeast Delta Dental. And I remember him talking to me, and he said, what do you think of the dental profession? I said, it's a great profession. Next thing I know, you know, he applied to Tufts, and then next thing I know, he got a scholarship, and the next thing I know, he's graduating. So, boy, we've just really touched on things. We haven't even gotten into the fact that one of our goals is to have a benefit for kids on Medicaid. There is a medical benefit, obviously, but not a dental benefit. And I mentioned earlier that there's so many chronic medical conditions that occur. I meant adult. There's no adult Medicaid benefit. We obviously have a children's dental benefit, but for adults. So we have a work group along with the New Hampshire Dental Society and others to establish, hopefully over the next 2 or 3 years, a dental program for adults on Medicaid. And that will really go a long way for self-esteem, but also chronic medical conditions. So again, for the record, there is a children's Medicaid program, and what we're working towards is an adult program. You know, we just scratched the surface, Andy. We could go on all day, but I'll have you back on again. So thank you for all you do for the community and being a great representative of Northeast Delta Dental as well. And, of course, your work with the Board of Dental Examiners in the past.
Thank you.